Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 189. This is Jorge.
This is Matt.
Alia here again.
Rhett here.
Wow.
You know who it is.
It's your boy, hey, Rhett.
I can't do that one. Yeah, this is Rhett.
That was great.
I couldn't tell. I mean, you didn't go quite far enough.
Oh.
Maybe you need to do like radio voice. This is Rhett.
It's supposed to suck. Oh. So I think I nailed it.
Oh, okay. Nailed very well then.
Yeah.
Nose breathing ass.
It's all about what the end goal is.
So you guys are all fucked up tonight.
Hella sick, dog.
Hella sick.
Not hella. It's a
cold.
Yeah,
maybe.
Thankfully it doesn't seem like the worst cold even. It's just a...
And you guys went to a wedding last night.
Hell yeah.
Probably just
so
fucking spread it around.
I tried.
I didn't know it was contagious yet until this morning.
Mm.
Yep. I didn't know I had anything.
Shared so many vape pens all across the party.
Oh, shit, yeah, dude. And yep. The bong and the fucking pipe.
Yep. Across the whole party.
I like how it's like, it would be rude not to go. So now all of you are going to get sick.
Well, I told the groom.
I told him,
nah,
I was like, yo, I'm pretty sick.
I'm glad we didn't miss any.
They're like, nah, come out here. And
yeah.
I went out there.
I fucking love weddings.
Fun. Good food.
I like weddings too. They're usually pretty fun.
Yeah, when they have open bars, they're fucking great.
Especially, yeah.
Open bar weddings were a good time.
Well, you know.
I blacked out at an open bar wedding one time and went up there and sang My Way by Frank Sinatra. It was great. It went over really well.
I'm sure it did.
Yeah.
Well,
God Lord.
Yeah.
Well, you're here. I mean, look, you've mustered
the
energy.
We have obligations, man. We don't fucking cancel. No surrender.
Well, we're just sitting here, so it's not like...
Yeah. I gotcha.
Plus, this is where the whiskey's at.
Honestly, I would dance for another 3 hours straight again today. I don't care. I'll do it again.
Sick or not.
All right. So, in the meantime, did you guys watch or play anything while you were getting ready for said wedding?
We went camping.
Yeah, we went camping on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
That was really awesome because there was nobody out there. And
it's kind of a weird spot for camping right now. It's like just getting cold, but like not.
It was perfect.
We like we drove in, so we like brought so many fucking blankets. Yeah. And like it was the cushiest, coziest camping I've ever fucking done. And we took an air mattress one time.
We caught a fade super early and then just put Splinter on the tablet and watched Splinter.
I saw that little stove top thing you guys have.
Kelly kettle.
Yeah. That thing looks dope.
The Kelly kettle
fucking rad.
Jam.
Can you cook with it?
Yeah. It's got like a little grill that goes on top. Yeah. Like it boils water in like a minute or
a little bit longer. Yeah.
But it's because it's got like a chimney and all you do is put like little twigs and leaves in there and it catches fire real quick and gets super hot. So you can boil water instantly. And
it's the Who Goes There camping cast.
Dude, that thing is awesome. I fucking love the Kelly kettle. Shameless plug.
The Who Goes There camping cat.
Yeah, and a Who Goes There to you, motherfucker.
Yeah. It's in the woods at night, dog.
Yeah. It's scary, dude.
Yeah.
All right.
You think you can camp, dude?
Probably. Yeah, probably not very well.
You don't seem like a camper to me.
I like it, though. I do. I would like to go visit some nature.
I love that.
Can
shit,
I talk
dude.
About this for... Oh, never mind.
Setting fires is my favorite, dude. I always start the fire.
No, I was playing. No, I like camping.
I was going to say, this is literally your platform to say something. So
no,
go ahead.
I didn't want... No, I was kidding.
Oh, okay.
I was going to go on this thing about camping for like 10 minutes.
No. Go ahead and start. Like, we can stop you.
Yeah.
No, I'll stop myself before.
But, okay, so then you didn't watch anything before
this week? Well, we watched
Splinter
there.
Okay.
Splinter
was which movie?
The one with the gas station where there's like that...
that is a good flick.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Fucking cool.
It's kind of silly. Like, once I had a good fade going on, like, I was tearing that movie apart, but... It was fun. And then I watched Death House, but we're going to do that next week. And
you're happy about that.
Yeah, dude. I have some things to say about that movie.
All right.
It's going to be a fun show.
Okay.
But yeah, then we've been watching Haunting of Hill House. We have one episode left. Maybe finish it tonight.
Damn, that's a good show. Did you guys fucking notice in episode 6 or 7 that like 13-minute tracking shot?
Yes, dude. I knew you were going to love that.
Oh, it's so good.
It was like in that main corridor.
Yeah, dude. Have you seen?
He's like coming episode, in his pants right now.
Episode six.
And I, you know what? I haven't watched it past that one yet. I mean to, but it was fucking great.
Fuck.
When it was happening, I was like, wait, do they do this all the time? And I just don't realize it.
But no, So both the shots that were in the mortuary and the house, they were all, it was all tracking shots.
Yeah.
Fuck, amazing, dude. That's so good. Watched a little featurette about it. It's fucking rad.
Did they have Flanagan himself?
It was, yeah.
Mike Flanagan.
Who's Mike Flanagan?
He's the guy who does that show, and the directing of it. Show.
Yeah.
And he did, what the hell, help me out here. We talked about it before. Hush.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he did a few things. What's the one starting with the O?
Oculus.
Oculus, yeah.
Which I didn't really like.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
But, because that was the beginning of the WWF
films. Not the beginning, but it was... At the beginning of the recent push,
Gerald's Game. That was pretty good.
Which is real good
for a Stephen King thingy.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix original.
Did you watch on Netflix? Did you watch? God damn it! What was the farmer one?
I didn't watch it.
1822 or something like that.
Yeah,
1922.
I didn't watch it.
That's a good one.
The Thomas Jane.
Yeah, Thomas Jane is just Thomas Janing it up the whole time, but it's real good.
All right, I'll give it a shot.
That's all right.
That's all we watched.
That's right.
That's right.
That's all of it. Little Sabrina, Little Hill House.
I heard Sabrina's in some a little bit of hot water.
Well, why?
The Satanic Church sued them for $50 million.
Oh
for
my god, are they seriously that low
for,
right now?
For
that
use,
really they're satanic.
It seems kind of against the principles, though.
Yeah, it does a little bit.
Yeah, like because they have they used a statue that is very similar to the statue used by the Satanic Temple. And so they're saying it's like a copyright infringement thing,
like that
the temple was stolen based on like other stuff.
Good job, Satanic Church.
Yeah.
Pat yourself on the back for being so happy.
Yeah, there was some, I was reading something about like how potentially Sabrina could be off the air forever. I go, no, it's not. Come on.
Netflix won't take it off.
They'll delete if anything happens, they'll delete the fucking scene, whatever.
Yeah, and they'll be like, what statue?
Yeah.
Dorks.
What do you got, some kind of fucking dorks?
Dude, yeah. Okay, so I started following the Satanic Temple because it suggested me on Instagram, and some of their pictures are cute, you know, like little kids with the fucking Baphomet statue and stuff. But like they had like a dinner or something for like a bunch of fucking Satanists, I guess. And they were all like dressed like in Sabrina, you know, when they do.
I haven't seen any
the
of
Judgment.
It.
Okay, well, they're like, all these people are dressed up like monsters and stuff, having dinner, like being super fucking serious. The lights are all like bright. It's not like candlelit or anything.
Furries.
It's so weird. Yeah, I was looking at that picture and I was like, these fucking dorks. Bunch of fucking...
That is nerdy.
That's a weird hobby, but whatever.
What about you, dude? I continued with Friday the 13th, but I haven't... I did part 7.
Okay.
Only 7.
Yeah, only 7 this time.
Is that your least favorite of all of them so far?
Hell no. You're going to be pissed at my least favorite. I'm telling you.
It better not be 5.
It's fucking 5.
Because 5 is the best one.
It is
by far.
Not.
You're going to get it, bitch.
Dude.
You're going to get it.
We talked about it a little bit last time. 4 is my favorite, easily. 4 is fucking great.
Well, you haven't seen the Holy Trilogy yet, so
I might even say 4, 6, 7 is my top 3.
Are you gonna start doing like deep dives on these series coming up here, or is this just a one-off?
If you do, I will.
No,
too.
I think you know what? I haven't done it with these a lot of these series, so it's kind of like going through the discography of something. You know, if you're gonna talk shit, like then you gotta listen to the albums, right? So
that's true.
Yeah,
You could just talk shit knowing nothing at all.
Right?
It's called being an American.
Yeah, that's America. That's condemnation prior to investigation. And anyway,
sounds American.
Yeah, it does.
Oh yeah, I watched Apostle.
How was it?
Surprise! It was good. I liked it.
I want to
really
watch that.
Violent.
Yeah,
the violence was really good. It was probably too long though.
Yeah,
you said it was slow, right?
I mean, it's fucking long.
Part Friday the 13th 7 is The New Blood. Okay, and it's so fucking hilarious because you've got the girl with the telekinesis and her dad dies.
Yep.
When her dad comes out of the lake at the end to pull Jason down, that...
You lost it.
That was not good. But I like the ideas here and there.
That's what they call a callback.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I like, too, that it seems like the whole movie, no one knows about Jason. It's just about her dad and the lake.
And that girl.
And it's pretty crazy. It has some good kills here and there, though.
Okay.
And I thought it was
Jason's
interesting.
Like the B plot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah, it's not that great. But I watched the special features. And the special features for this series are really cool because they show all these alternate cuts that the MPAA didn't let them do. They kept sending it back.
This is more bloody.
Oh, yeah, because there's one where he kills a dude and crushes his face in part 7. They have the freaking the first cut of it. And it's freaking ridiculous. It's like worse than the Ed 209 RoboCop thing. Like, no, it's they should have kept it. It was good. But also, it was fun to hear the director talk about this movie. He was like not trying to defend the movie at all. Like, he knew how bad it was. He knew what they made. And so
it's funny.
But yeah. Anyway, so I watched that.
Okay.
It was fun. I look forward to Jason Takes Manhattan. And then probably
Jason X, dude.
Jason, I keep hearing.
Don't forget Jason Goes to Hell.
Yeah.
And see that one, there was a huge difference between the release version and the uncut version in terms of like blood and nudity and
Jason X is the one, dude.
Jason Goes to Hell. I actually kind of remember how they start out with like the SWAT team getting him at the beginning.
Yep.
And then the end, Freddy's glove comes down and drags his mask down, which was a huge fucking deal.
So you remember like the two biggest parts of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only beginning, everything in between.
The
was
only things that matter.
The beginning and the ending.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
When that dude ate his heart, that was pretty cool. But other than that.
Was it in the morgue?
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's it for the time being.
Mm-hmm. You went to go see Daughters on Friday. Well, we didn't even talk about this album, really.
No, we haven't. No. It's this band. Well, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You're dude. I
no. You go ahead.
I haven't seen. I haven't seen somebody be on fire about an album like this in a fucking long time.
This is what I did about anything I like. The same thing happened with Mandy, man. I mean, it's
well, you almost take ownership of the thing.
That's well, yeah. I made this album, bro. No, but these guys are from Providence, Rhode Island. It's their first album in 8 years. They're called Daughters. If we had to get into genre stuff, they'd be noise rock. Art punk,
like post hardcore art punk noise,
yeah,
something,
okay. All the cool shit, yeah. Basically. No, but not everybody's cup of tea, but nonetheless, they've grown in stature in the 8 years since they've had an album. Well, apparently, and the new album is very well received, and their last album was about 25 minutes, and this one is about 45 minutes. So they were known for like they would have songs that were a minute and 2 minutes. There's these nice little freaking grindy noise things. And now the songs are stretching 6 and 7 minutes. And it's interesting to hear them explore that kind
of. Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a slog when you get into those longer songs, man. It's like not a slog, but it's really punishing at times.
It's droning. Well, it is very punishing. I wouldn't say slog. Like but seeing them live, this is one of the best shows I've ever seen. Honestly. Oof.
There you go.
Well, when you're talking about those parts that are they're plotting on that same part over and over again, that shit was fucking amazing.
It's mesmerizing live, yeah.
It was, because it was like they were mining like all of the angst of the fucking earth right now. Like, and there it was, no, it was a great energy level. Yeah, and it was nice. I was with this guy Donovan, who's a member of the.
He's a Patreon homie and one of our friends for 20 years now almost.
Yep.
Fuck.
So when he hears this, hi Donovan.
He's gonna be like, that's my name.
That's my name, bitch. I watched Fuck All this week. Ronnie and I started watching this show called Designated Survivor only because we were.
That sounds like it's gonna be hilariously bad.
It's okay. So here's the deal. We were on such a like emotional low after watching The Haunting because it's, I mean, if it's like after watching that show, I'm always like, fuck, man, like I'm like kind of drained. So we just wanted to watch a stupid show, just to like watch a stupid show. It's about, it's Kiefer Sutherland as like this low-level government agent, and Congress and everyone, he gets blown the fuck up in the first scene, and he becomes like president like after like 40 steps. You know, like, you know that thing that happens, like if the president dies, yeah, the vice president, the vice president dies, it's the vice, it's the yeah. Speaker of the House. It goes all the way down to like the housing, like he's a housing commissioner or some shit like that. So it's like kind of mindless and funny at the same time, but it's like this really like serious drama. But it's about the it's about fucking Congress getting blown up, so it's like kind of silly at the same time. Not that Congress getting blown up would be silly,
yeah.
But the premise is,
thinks Congress getting blown up is silly.
Arrest this man. But no, nothing nothing good.
Oh, so it's not good.
It's not. I mean, it's fun to watch, but it's basically fluff.
What's the name of it?
Designated Survivor.
Designated Survivor?
Yeah, that
sounds it sounds like a fucking winner, man.
Yeah, no, so yeah, so what happens
is, sounds like it's what it's about.
What happens is that apparently, and I don't know if this is true, it could just be for the show, but like when any time there's like a big group of government agencies together, they'll always have one like in a bunker somewhere so that in case everybody dies, there's still somebody left to run the government.
That makes sense.
I don't know. I mean, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, it would make sense.
It could not be true. Yeah. But the fact that there's like some random fuck who is like a housing commissioner.
It's just the one they don't like that's not invited. It's like, just tell him he's like next in line. Like, we want him to run the country.
And then everybody gets blown the fuck up. But yeah, that's basically it. So yeah, no, nothing good. Anything in the news, my dude?
Jack shit.
California's burning 70,000 acres are on fire.
Dude, have you guys seen this video?
Hundreds of people are missing.
Okay. Yeah. So, I'm like,
double digits dead.
Trigger warning if like fucking corpses aren't your thing. I think it
was 22 was the last count.
But there is this video of this guy.
The trigger warning if corpses are your thing.
Both, right. Yeah. Both. If they are or they aren't. There's this video of this guy like after, sort of like after a fire has run through this
area.
It's a road, and he's just walking by cars like, oh yeah, these people got burned to death, blah blah blah, blah. And he like takes his phone and like focuses in on the car, and it's just a fucking charred corpse in a car. Damn. And then he'll walk to the next car and like, yep, here's another one, and it's just another skeleton in a car. It's like weird how detached he is, because I'm sure he's in shock still.
Yeah,
but it's wild, dude. Like, there's people getting caught on the street,
trying to get the
fuck out, and they're dying in their cars.
Because it's like Santa Ana's, and the fire doubled pretty much overnight. Yep. It was like 30,000 acres, and then 70,000 acres just like the next day.
This has been a fucked up year for California, man. Like, it's been on fire.
So La Nina,
80% of the time. It's fucking crazy. I'll show you this video when we break, because it's haunting. I want to see it.
Yeah, please show me that.
Like, okay, so, some things really fucking stick with you sometimes. Like, you'll probably remember the feeling of watching that video, like, years later.
Speaking of which, when I drove up to LA on Friday, you know how long it took me to get there?
Probably 4 hours.
Like, 5.5 fucking hours. Yeah. Because, it's like, oh, yeah, people are evacuating Ventura.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and then Thousand Oaks, like, they just had that mass shooting, and now they're on fire.
Jesus, man. Yeah, we haven't spoken since that Thousand Oaks shooting. Another fucking
crazy shit. Fucked up shit.
I don't know, man. I mean, what's going on?
Whatever. The world moves on, man.
I think this shit is accelerating, which is the gnarly.
Well, yeah, because it's climate change.
Not
the fires. No, I'm talking about like these like
you hear mass about everything shootings. More. You hear about everything more. And you hear,
all is like the wind.
You hear about it, everything more, and you hear about everything several times. So hear about it, that's an antiquated statement. You see it.
Yeah. Crime is
actually. You see videos of it. If you're not looking for it.
Crime is actually statistically lower now than it's ever been, like, in the history of humanity.
Exactly.
People, like, I have friends who are mothers who will be like, oh, like, I feel so unsafe, my children, the world, blah, blah, blah. What am I supposed to do? How do you raise your kids? And I'm just like, tell them stuff like that. And they're like, no. Don't make me feel better. I just want to panic about my kids. I want to worry for my kids. I'm like, bitch, are you fucking kidding me?
Damn,
like,
bitch.
No, because even if you go out of your way to watch, like, say, the news, right? Like, I don't watch the news. Does that mean I don't hear about anything? Like, no, you fucking can't.
You hear about everything. Yeah, you can't get away from it.
Well, if you are on social media at all, like, it's like, oh, that's going on. Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. And you can't. Yeah. You can't. If you use your phone at all.
Well, especially on Facebook, man. Like,
well, Facebook is, yeah. That's.
I haven't been on Facebook. I pretty much quit Facebook. I should might as well delete my account.
Yeah, that happened to me the last few months too. I'm barely on this thing.
I took it off my phone, and that was like the fucking nail in the coffin.
Right, same.
We should just delete the Who Goes There one.
Oh shit! Don't do that.
Just stay on Instagram.
Oh Jesus! All right, well, if we've got nothing else for news, let's take a quick break, and you guys can watch a video of dead people.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, you don't have to watch it, but we'll be right back.
Watched people burn alive.
I did watch people. One guy burned to death. Anyways.
Yep. Thanks for that.
That was a bad. That was a
nightmarish.
That was the wrong rabbit hole to go down. I need to watch some ASMR videos to recover from that shit. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you need some eye bleach. Need some kittens, some puppies, some babbies.
I might be posting those to Patreon. I don't know.
What, ASMR?
No, those two fucking videos. Oh.
The links for those?
Yeah.
I was like, what would the ASMR be? You rubbing your beard against the microphone?
Just a Chilean firefighter dying.
It's a reference.
Ugh. Reference. Hey, guess what, Matt?
What?
We're back.
Oh. We should release a bunch of half episodes and call them whole episodes.
Oh, yikes.
Race to 200.
Ooh, you're talking shit.
Got him.
Always.
Got him, maybe. Hey, Matt.
Yeah, buddy.
What's up with the Patreon, dude?
Patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast is what keeps the wheels on this boat. Wheels on a boat doesn't make any sense, but going to Patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast makes
spooky boat.
All the sense in the world. You can give us as little or as much as you want, and it helps us run the show and repair equipment, and you get bonus episodes, bonus content, and all kinds of other fun stuff. And we got one new homie and one returning homie.
Yeah, who changed his mind.
Yeah. So welcome back to Kai Wood. I wonder if he's just doing this to get us to mention him more and more often.
Ooh, that's a good move.
He'll cancel strategy. Next month and come back the month after.
That's a good move.
And then the homie Jam, our
who DM. Who is your DM?
Our DM became a... That just means he listens to the show and now like... He's going to make fun of me even more.
Nah, during he won't D&D. Make fun of you. Nah,
he's... Put the shit in the campaign.
Oh, he's going to fuck with you campaign-wise. I like that. I like that. Dude, have you guys seen this fucking video of Garth Brooks, his first video
on Facebook? No.
It is like the birth of a serial killer, dude. I'll send it to you. It's hideous, man. Okay. But it's also really good.
Oh my God.
I like that. Yeah. I really like that. I
didn't see that.
I thought maybe he was being like dry humor, but
that's him, dude. If you watch anything else that he's posted on social media, like he took over his wife's Instagram for her birthday as if like that's
sounds like a great gift.
As if that's what she wanted. And he's like, we're going to take over her Instagram today. I like that. I really like that. He's a fucking serial killer, dude. He's crazy.
Creepshow.
Maybe. You got enough money to cover it up.
You got something, dude?
No, she said maybe, and I was like, maybe.
I mean, stranger things have happened. I'm just saying.
How many celebrity millionaire serial killers get fucking caught? Zero.
None of them.
It's because they kill themselves.
I got a question for you guys. Chris Benoit. Have you met anybody who listens to Garth Brooks?
No.
I mean, like my dad did.
He is obscenely famous, yet I don't know anybody who listens to that.
The Thunder Rolls and the Lightning Strikes.
And Much Too Young to Feel This Damn Old.
Yeah, man, you don't.
You're just not white enough to get it, dog.
Is that right? Yeah. I grew up in Santee. How much whiter could I be?
There's some early 90s Brooks stuff that happened, and he was a big deal.
Yeah, Thunder Rose.
He's still a big deal. He sells out like fucking like 70,000 seat stadiums, man.
Well,
it's crazy.
Yeah, any country that makes it big in like a popular culture sense of the word, like for everybody, is instantly like an icon of country and will never be forgotten.
Never.
It's a big dude.
Alan Jackson, George Strait, all of them.
So the Who Goes There podcast watched 2018's Overlord, directed by Julius Avery, written by Billy Ray and Mark Smith.
Billy Ray?
Billy Ray.
It seems like there should be another name there.
Starring Joven? Joven?
Joven.
See you later, Joven.
Joven Adepo, Wyatt Russell, Matilda Oliver, Olivier, sorry, Pilieu Asbeck, John Magaro, Ian DeCastecare, Jacob Anderson, and some other fucking fucks. Yeah. Matt, what do you think of Overlord?
I was bored through the entire thing, and thankfully my brain is already letting me forget most of this movie, so the quicker we do this, the better.
Yeah!
I'm kind of pissed off that Wyatt Russell is Kurt Russell's son.
Why are you pissed off about that?
Like he got him.
I felt like he did his dad in his,
he did Kurt his dad a great
injustice.
Wyatt, Kurt, all of them.
I did not like
Goldie
Hawn. I did not like this movie.
Really? Okay.
I thought it was laughable at a lot of times.
Alia, yeah? You fell asleep
for most of it. I slept. I'm sick.
Okay, that's all right. All right.
I don't think the sickness had much to do with
today, this morning. Okay, and I had to go into work.
Riggedy Rhett.
Riggedy. I think it did some things well, and it didn't do some things well. But either way, it's not a bad movie, but I don't love the movie either.
Okay. I didn't like it, but I didn't hate it.
I'll go into it. But
I have no strong feelings.
It did some things well, but I wasn't particularly impressed by the overall thing. No.
I'm going to be on my own on this one. I fucking loved Overlord.
Really?
Dude, I had so much fun watching Overlord. I had a great fucking time. The opening sequence of that fucking like parachute
was bombardier hilarious.
Thing, I thought was like there was some funny bits and there was actually like there was some tense bits. I thought it was a really done.
I thought World the only War. Funny bit was when he was falling out of the plane. It was like earnest, scared, stupid, wacky.
Yeah, I mean, it was intentionally kind of like crappy camera work. I actually really dug that.
I think that was intentional.
Thought the best set piece of the movie was him jumping out of the plane.
Yeah, it was a good bit.
But it was like you're actually in hell. Like, yeah, like you're in, you don't know what the top and the bottom is. There's explosions and all that. It kind of primed me for a better movie, honestly.
It was a little bit better than the rest of the movie.
Subtext into him jumping out of a plane?
Fuck yeah. Well, hell yeah. I got a lot of stuff from the beginning of the movie where it did a good job of showing like the combat of war. Like you've already seen gore in war movies, you know, many times, but it felt like it's like, oh yeah, most of this stuff is already horrific. Like it's already horror. Mm-hmm. Like there's gore and it's fucking scary. Oh, there's a mine. That guy just blew up. Like this is fucking scary. This is scary.
Yep.
Like I don't mean like I'm scared shaking my fucking whatever in the theater. But I thought the tone they established was effective.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think that like it's almost the war part of this movie was way better than the.
I even thought it was bad as a war
like,
movie.
Than the like, well, spoilers. Than the zombie stuff.
Yeah, once it got to the zombies, it was kind of a letdown to me.
Yeah,
and that they almost. Oh, go ahead.
That's what pushed me, like, that's one of the things I really dislike it. Like, I was nitpicking in the beginning. I was, like, annoyed. I was like, really? They got a mixed race World War II. They got a mixed race unit. Why didn't they make them all black? Like, so I was annoyed a little bit. Like, I was like, that's not believable.
I want to come back to that, too, because I'm sorry.
But when it got to the zombie stuff, it got
You're not wrong. It probably would have been an all African-American
Well, and you could say, like, oh, they're trying to, like, you know, show this. Well, it does is minimize the fucking reality of what it was like back then. The whole movie was toothless about the race issue.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It wasn't toothless about gore.
It felt a lot like propaganda to me sometimes, honestly.
I mean,
like,
yeah.
The good guys are paragons.
It had this rah-rah-rah thing,
and the bad guys are cartoonishly evil.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what
every 5 minutes, the Nazis had to do something really bad to remind you they're bad.
When it comes into the zombie part, like, it makes a really obvious, like, how like the bad guys are cookie cutter evil back evil. So all they are
the stuff,
is evil.
That's the stuff to me that like I enjoyed it more because of that. It was like it had a foot in B movie and a foot in like serious war movie. I thought that both of those aspects were really effective in this.
That film is one of my pet peeves though.
Because like history
me,
is a B
for
movie.
Me that was a
ooh.
You like that?
Dang. Stupid. That was dumb, but I liked it.
I liked that.
Oh, creepy.
I almost felt like the movie didn't know what it wanted to be. It didn't know whether it wanted to be serious. It didn't know whether it wanted to be funny. It didn't know whether it wanted to be a war movie or a zombie movie.
I think it was, I mean, I think it was all of those things.
it was serious and funny.
Yeah.
Like, because I...
Dude, when that motherfucker steps on the landmine and eats it, I'm like, okay, we should have expected that, and that shit was pretty funny.
It was super predictable. You didn't see that coming? Him... He felt, first of all,
kind of from the get-go, I didn't know that the main white guy was going to, like,
personally,
if he died at all, he was going to die, like, a super honorable, yep, like, sacrificial
But that
death.
Scene right there felt like it was right out of Forrest Gump. He even sounded like Bubba when he's talking to Forrest.
I should have known.
And it's
when
like, I'm doing a cookbook. Your pictures are going to be,
I should. I mean, I should have known, but I it did catch me off guard a little bit.
Okay. One of the reasons it did catch me off guard, and I'll agree with you, but that is at all is the sound. The sound in this movie, I thought was
very loud.
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, it was the technical stuff in this movie, like the execution of the practical effects mixed with the special effects, mm-hmm, the production design, the sets, the sound. It was all like very competently executed, right? Mm. With the technical stuff.
I loved the open shots, like when they're outside. Oh, yeah. That was so pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did all that very, very well.
You're in World War II, like Nazi occupied France, so it's of course going to be beautiful, right?
I own World War II in high def, and I've seen it several times. And so, like, I think that's where, like, a little nitpicking got, like, from the very beginning, where they were, like, all mixed race and they were all nicer. I was like, fuck, this is not true.
She said the historical inaccuracies are already pissing me off.
1948, 4 years after World War II.
Right, and well, it's like, what's the problem with that besides that it's inaccurate? It minimizes minimizes the fucking reality of history. Yeah. And it's like, why do that? The movies are. Like, you don't need to.
Yeah.
Like you said,
you don't need to sugarcoat it. Like, it could have been an all African American crew and it would have been.
But there still would have been plenty of white people because they're in France and fighting Germans.
Yeah. Speaking of which, too, the cast was pretty competent, right? But. Character-wise, I mean, none of them were particularly...
Yeah.
I liked Wyatt a lot. I haven't seen him do much besides Black Mirror. His character,
that's all I saw.
Yeah, I think
he makes a good case for him being a pretty good leading man, honestly.
Yeah, I think Ford was a good character. I mean, I don't know that I necessarily loved it, but Boyce as a character, this overly fucking, like, altruistic, like... Mm-hmm. Perfect example of a person. I was like, oh, come on,
well, he
man.
Was like,
was
he desperate. He wasn't a perfect soldier, though. They made fun of him a lot for
he
being
a
too nice guy.
He wasn't
nice
a perfect
guy.
Soldier, but he was a perfect, like, he was
human
the perfect
being,
person
yeah.
in this film.
Yeah.
Like, he was like,
he's the most moral.
I don't want to, you know, I don't want to kill anybody. I don't want to kill a rat. I don't want to do, like,
yeah,
you know,
he's the most moral. We have to do this the hard way because it's the right thing to do.
Since we're going kind of linear, I mean, the most grating thing for me at the beginning, honestly, was when it started in the plane and how chatty it was. Right, because they started with the character, the New York guy,
the one
that
smacking
was
his gum
so
all the time.
Fucking on the nose, like so such a cliched New York World War II character.
Everybody was a cliche.
Yeah, I mean they were, and he was just, you know, I once the shit started going down, I was like, thank God, I hope it doesn't chat the whole time like that. But there's a lot of scenes I thought that could have benefited from having. Just cut this fucking dialogue out and let it be atmosphere. Let stuff happen.
Yeah. Well, like when they go into the girl's apartment and like they're going up the stairs and the fucking creepy ass auntie breathing. Yeah. Ooh, that was kind of creepy.
I did, you know, I did appreciate that didn't like, because they showed that in the trailers, right? Mm-hmm. The hallway with the aunt breathing. I did appreciate that didn't really like
go
lead
anywhere.
To anything. Yeah. It was just like a mulligan that they showed in the trailer, and it wasn't. They didn't. I mean, I liked that they didn't show us everything in the trailer. There, mm-hmm. there was a lot of that. Like,
sure,
there was surprises in this film, which
I missed a lot of them.
Well, it kind of made me think there was more of a surprise coming, but it was like exactly what I expected. They were doing experiments. And like you said, I mean, it's unabashedly a B-movie thing.
Yeah.
You know, I get that. Yeah. It's just, like I said, it's competently done. It's just there's long stretches where there was a couple times where 5 minutes went by and I was like, I realized, oh, I completely disassociated from
you
the film right
now. You blinked
out
for a little bit.
Yep. Yeah. I did that quite a bit through this movie.
Yeah. And it's like, you could say that's because you have no fucking intent. Maybe, but usually I don't do that.
No, I don't think this movie, I don't think this definitely isn't one of those like, where's your attention span at, bro? Like, I, you know.
Huh. It moved. It, yeah. It's plenty. It's loud enough.
It's loud. It's fast.
Diverted.
It's, you know, there's a lot of things happening, I think. I mean, I think for me, I do like the character interactions. Like, I do kind of dig Fucking what's the character's name? God damn it.
Boyce. The New York fucker?
No, no, no. The actual Nazi. What was his name? Waffner.
He's the overlord, bro.
Well, yeah.
I was looking. Where is the overlord?
Well, it's the Nazis.
I know.
It's like the Nazis.
As a whole.
I like that character. I like how fucking gross he was. And I was really, like, I was really invested in hating his guts. I like that character quite a bit.
That's my pet peeve.
Him going full rapey. I was like, ooh, God.
You know what, though? See, I, it's not fair to compare it to these other movies, but I will.
And it is.
Inglourious Bastards and Schindler's List, I've already seen rapey Nazis, and they're much more shaded and complicated and interesting than that guy. And there's Ralph Fiennes and there's Christoph Waltz and...
Did this movie need a shaded Nazi? We needed a fucking Nazi that was gross and
I think you could still be gross and disgusting and realistic
and not be
because people like that exist.
The most they tried was
a lot of them
during the torture scene. They have the American guy Wyatt. I'm having a thing.
What's his Ford?
Name? Ford. Yeah, the character Ford. You can see he's torturing the Nazi. And, of course, our protagonist is having a problem with him torturing because he's the freaking, you know.
He takes a punch in the face and then just goes right downstairs.
Right, right. Oh, yeah, which was also kind of like, what the hell? But
yeah, right? He's standing up and then he gets punched. And he's like, no.
They're trying to show the moral ambiguity there of both sides. We all humans have these propensities because he's enjoying torturing this guy. Later on, they address that again when it's continued, you know,
at the very end, our guys shouldn't have it either.
Which is like, yeah, no one should have this because anyone using it would corrupt them.
Right.
Right. So they tried. That's as thoughtful as this movie gets with its premise. And I thought, you know, you could have done some more. You could have done a little more without it being, I don't want it to be fucking an art film, but.
The thing. Like, what more do we want out of this? Like, for me, I'm okay.
I can't watch a movie and enjoy it if I don't like at least fall in love with at least one character that I really care about. And if it doesn't give me that, I just can't get into it.
I did not care about it.
But that's
single
just my like personal
characters.
Like pet peeves.
Because there's almost no.
What about the French lady, man?
The little boy?
So there's almost no character development from the beginning.
Spit on the baseball.
She's also stereotype. Like she's like the fucking the civilian gone badass. You know, like finds her guts.
She's basically Olivia Munn.
What was the character in Inglourious Basterds?
I think she was beautiful. I like looking at her.
Yeah,
she was our.
Her accent
Shoshana
lovely.
From fucking Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah.
I kind of just wish the movie would have leaned like one way or the other. If you're going to be serious, If you're going to be funny, be funny. If you're going to be a war movie, which until an hour 10,
you're right.
This was a war movie.
It took too long to get where it was going. I was checking.
And then it's like, oh shit. Here's some zombies for like 25, 30 minutes.
I almost feel like that was sort of the point wasn't so much that this is a zombie movie with World War II elements. This is a World War II film with some zombie stuff.
Okay,
Pan's Labyrinth it.
Well, maybe.
They're like, here's a horror movie.
I don't think it's a bad idea. I don't think it quite pulled it off.
I'm with you. I think that had they dug their heels in a little bit more and really showed you the experiments, like really fucking dug their nails in and showed you like more than just one fucking head with a spinal cord, you know, talking, and more than just one little tube sticking in this one guy. Like, I wanted to explore that whole lab. Like, let's see what's going on in those bags.
Because it apparently has regenerative powers because Homeboy's face is like completely blown off and then it's slowly coming back. Like,
well, right. Because at that point, they hadn't done experiments on live tissue. So they'd just been bringing back
corpses.
Fuck, spoilers, I guess. They had just been bringing back corpses at that point. So, like, whether or not it healed him was a crapshoot.
Well, and then, like. Then, like, towards the end where
Fritos.
They're nice. Trying to...
like
where
a dog's
paws. He's taking that girl down to the cages. And he's like, oh, your brother's in there. And it's like a half a torso. But then the torso, like, grabs the guy and eats him or something.
Torso,
and then it's a whole body.
The torso was something they were giving. No, there was something else in there. The torso was... They were
the torso was food.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I was like, how did the torso grow legs?
Or either it was food or they just put somebody in there so that they would kill them, you know?
you know, I was kind of bummed out that we didn't get like a whole like Call of Duty zombie style like crowd of zombies, yeah, but also
a horde.
The two or three
zombies that we did get, I thought were really neat. Like the one guy that was stabbing people with his fucking like with his arm bones.
He looked so funny running though. Like yeah, he ran dude. So. Dumb.
I noticed that too. I'm like, why is he running?
His
like
upper
that?
Body was going faster than his lower body.
Well, you're right.
He's a shitty zombie.
I know. I
agree with you about those details. And a lot of those scenes had some. They had some balls. You know, they had some suspense.
Yeah.
Like regardless of not particularly being that engaged with some of the characters or any of the characters. There was this suspense because the filmmaking was kind of like.
Yeah.
He got underneath a truck, and then the engine started. That was nerve-wracking. Like, you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
When he's like, they did a good job, like, building suspense in just basic, competent ways to me. Mm-hmm. But it's like one of those movies that's frustrating for me, honestly, because it's like you could take this could go to the next level.
Yeah, I mean, had
they really took it there?
Yeah, get eccentric and fucking go for it. Like, yeah, they the fences
I think they really needed to go full Wolfenstein. Like, to me, like, yeah. I was waiting for this to turn into a video game.
They had the green light. It was fucking R.
Yeah, so... You know, that's where I sort of minus points because I go, dude, you've got fucking show us goddamn zombie Hitler. Fuck, do the thing, man.
Well, and then they made some comment at the end about like how they have a new mission because they got to take out Hitler or something. And that really makes me worry that they're going to do a sequel to this.
They probably like to.
Well, what you missed in the fucking stinger was there
a stinger?
The Cloverfield monster actually comes down.
Wait, so
steps on Hitler.
Did anyone else keep waiting for this to turn? Even though they said it wasn't going to be one, like,
dude, I
waiting
was,
for it to
dude,
turn into a Cloverfield.
I was
monster.
Waiting.
Shut the fuck
no,
up.
No, because it was like it was announced that it was supposed to be, and then they're like, no, it's not. Like that's
dude,
just a
dude,
rumor.
Dude. I
but
kept
it
waiting
is bad robot,
for a fucking satellite to fly out of the sky and hit the ground. I was like, let's do it. Let's
I
do
kept
it.
Waiting
let's
for
go.
Something there to be like some kind of fucking time portal, like in the bunker,
dude,
or something.
And especially
you
when
guys
that,
had way too much
when
time
that
on your
dog.
Hands.
I was trying to make this movie good.
When they found the corpse of the dog
yes.
thing, I was like, oh shit, oh yeah. shit. That's,
if it,
they created the Cloverfield monster in the
no,
40s.
I would fully expect that if it wasn't coming in the heels of the failure of the last one, which was on Netflix.
Yeah, that we talked
this
about
might
it,
have
man.
Very well been a Cloverfield movie. Like, I'm just saying, maybe it was. And they said, fuck that, drop that. This is just,
oh my God.
This is already in production.
Yeah, because Paradox was such a fucking disaster when it came
to unifying
the universe.
Everything.
Yeah.
12 Cloverfield Lane, though.
And that's a franchise that 10. Can't afford a disaster.
With
they can't afford one disaster because it's a niche
like,
fucking audience.
Yeah.
The best
you get what
time
I mean?
Yeah.
All the residents are watching
like,
horror movie marathons. It's awesome.
I think that I'm forgiving a lot of this movie because I had a shitload of fun.
Well, if it tickles you, yeah. If it tickles you, that this movie's super polarizing. Like, 50-50 split right down the middle. Love it, hate it, it seems like.
This is one of the few movies
dude,
that...
Dude, she pulled out so many fucking 50-50 things that I was almost, like, mind-flooded right now. She was like, 50-50, right half percent, 50%. It's half and half. It's black and white. It's yes or no. And I was like, fuck, dude, no, stop her.
She got super binary.
It's Alia.
Zero and one, motherfucker.
This is one of the few horror movies I've seen where I heard a good amount of the theater laughing and I wasn't involved.
Oh.
Well, I mean, that's...
I felt sad.
Okay.
They found it
so
funny
here,
and I'm like,
here's what I would tell you. So I was able to actually watch this movie twice. I was lucky. So I really enjoyed it the second time. Knowing that everything was happening, I was like, all right, cool. I'm way in. Yeah. I really like this movie. I mean... It's not fucking like...
I always need something to latch onto, though. Like,
I love the angle of us... Look, because you know I like... Both of us do. I like the idea of an action horror film. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that vibe, you know? And like I said, for me, a lot of this was well executed as far as filmmaking.
Yeah.
But...
I think I'm willing to forgive a lot for that because it is like... Yeah. You've got competent filmmaking, not... unlikable characters. I wasn't invested in anybody, but nobody was unlikable. Yeah. Like,
especially,
I don't think
that, I loved the Jew. He was so cute.
The overall impression just for me was just, eh. Like, it, what was the last line?
And the French guy, the photographer.
He's all, we're
going
to kill Hitler and go home.
Yeah.
And then it went to the credits.
They're like,
that
pew, pew, everyone goes home.
There was no ending. They couldn't
find
an ending.
That's what we call a callback, dog.
Yeah.
That was a good maybe song. That's
I mean,
where
the
maybe
kiss would have been better.
That's where the Cloverfield monster was supposed to show up, and they were like, scrap that shit.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we're not going to. Because
how rad would that have
soon.
Been? The fucking planes are flying over France, and all of a sudden the Cloverfield monster just.
That would have been so fucking confusing to millions of people all across America.
Oh, that you would have been in on.
I would have been like,
10 Cloverfield Lane, you're like, nah, not this time. Is. But this one, you were like,
smacking
I'm
planes
in.
Out of the air? Fuck yeah.
Well, now it's a meme.
Yeah.
So.
Just fucking scream.
So the thing is, I've kind of seen this movie done twice already.
I did
and
get that
better
while
both
watching
times.
This. Like, I feel like I've seen this.
Talk to me.
Well, like, we saw Trench 11, which isn't exactly the same thing, but it's Americans in a Nazi bunker that has experiments.
Yeah,
or,
they're experimenting with, like, you know, super soldier
yeah,
type
and
deal.
That, I mean, and that movie is tense and awesome and much. In my opinion,
it's not
much
a
better than this
though.
One. It's not a 100, but then Blood Creek, which is just a Nazi zombie movie, which looks stupid. I know you've seen it on Netflix. It's like the back of a zombie's head or something. He's got like cut. A boot print. Yeah. And like, it looks stupid, but it was actually pretty fucking good.
Well, Nazi zombies as a concept is nothing fucking
overdone.
New. I mean,
I'm
so
just tired of any Nazi.
The Call of Duty thing has been, you know, I mean, the Nazi zombie mode in Call of Duty is what it just hit its 10-year anniversary. So it's not. I mean, it's not a novel concept. I do appreciate where they were heading on these experiments. I do like that stuff.
You know,
quite a bit.
This is gonna way back in high school. When I saw the Stinkfist video for Tool,
yeah,
I was reading a Time Life book about that my parents had about the Holocaust and about Nazi experimentation.
Yeah,
when that I saw the music video and I was reading that book that week, and I'd put the stuff on in headphones, the Anima album and all that, and I would imagine a film about like them having underground shit where they were fucking experimenting with like metahuman shit to this album. Isn't that kind of weird?
What way back then you were thinking about
in
that
in the fucking mid 90s, man.
Well, yeah, I mean,
but just, then I'm like thinking of the Time Life book. The pictures in that Time Life book were disturbing enough on their fucking own. Like they had
well,
a syringe.
That's probably why you remember every fucking detail. Well, yeah.
During World War II, like the Nazis and the Japanese were doing like horrible experiments on humans.
Of course they're still doing. Like, everyone's still like that's the thing. Oh, they don't do that anymore. Like, oh, okay,
dude, that's why. District 9, I watched that shit, and it, to me, like, yeah, they're doing it on the aliens, but I'm thinking, like, dude, they're still doing this shit like in other countries, like, to human beings, and
they're probably still doing that shit
made me hella
here.
Depressed.
If they have no consequences for it, then of course they're doing it. If they can, they are. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And they can.
But, I mean,
and of course, yeah.
I think that the movie's trying to do something big. And you know, there's a lot of like
grab it by the balls.
There's a lot of political stuff in the in sort of like the foreground that doesn't quite like. Okay, what are you trying to say here? Which
it's propaganda.
I mean,
it has to. This is a kind of movie with the stuff there. I agree with you. What I'm hearing here, it has to. To me, it has to justify its existence more than it did. And it really is just like if you're just a goofy B movie, well, go all in and do that.
Yeah.
And if you've got some like subtext here, then like. Give it to me, but it didn't go there.
That's the biggest detriment to me that I think
didn't
that
really take it there.
That
anyway.
I think that
either way.
Shorten to me. If I'm like you know backseat director, I'm shortening the front end of this movie quite a bit, probably by 50%, and then give me more experiment. Like I want to see fucking weird zombies. I don't want to see like normal like eat you up zombies. I want to see more zombies with. Arm bone stabbings and like that. In fact, that scene where they give the photographer the serum and his fucking head flops back. I was like, holy shit. Yeah, dude.
I felt during that scene, the person behind me, I felt them jump every time he twitched. Like I felt my seat move.
That transformation scene in terms of like zombie films is one of the best things I've ever seen.
That was
because it was cool as shit. There were things happening with his body on like a body horror spectrum that I don't think I've ever seen before.
Like body horror was good in this movie, I've got to say.
Yeah, the execution of the practical effects with the CGI. You could see some CGI blood splatter.
It was more CGI than practical.
I actually, I had looked up an article with the director. He said the bigger sequences were mainly practical effects. But they spruced it up with CGI, which is like, to me, if you're going
to
use CGI, that's what it should be for.
Sparingly.
Yeah, well, like, have, like, if you have dinosaurs, have animatronic fucking dinosaurs, and then go over it with some CGI.
Give them CGI testicles.
Yeah, don't make the whole thing Pixar dinosaurs.
Look, if you're going to have Transformers, give them balls.
Give them big CGI balls.
That's the way to do it, where every time you see balls, you take a shot.
I swear I heard the Transformers say twat when I was a kid, and my mom slapped the shit out of me. I'm like, I just heard it on TV. I heard it right there. Fucking Transformer said, ow, my twat, when he got shot with a laser.
That is such a weird story.
Dude, I remember it vividly.
You've definitely.
You were like 6 years old, dude. Chill.
Dude, if that.
At that point, did you even know what the word twat meant?
No. Where would I have fucking heard it? I heard it from the Transformer. He got shot and he's like,
I learned it from you,
twat.
Dad. Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You look like you had something.
No.
All right.
I'm going to Google
Transformers. Sorry, crowd. I was looking at my phone and came back to this.
Were you Instagramming?
I'm lost.
For a hot minute?
I heard about Transformers and the twat and someone's dad, and I don't want to piece together the narrative.
Yeah, welcome to all of our childhoods, basically. Yeah. I don't know.
Except I don't have a dad.
Me neither.
Me either. Three out of four have no dad.
Are we all dead dads club, dudes?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Absentee.
Okay. High five, dead dads, dude.
Dead dads, bro.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
See, if you have a dead dad, if you're listening,
you're not alone.
You're not alone, and get over it. Sorry, just kidding.
Honestly,
everyone grieves their own way.
I feel like such a horrible person. When my dad died, I was like, whatevs. I felt terrible for like a week, man. Because
about your own,
you
lack
felt terrible
of reaction,
for not feeling
for not
terrible.
Feeling terrible.
Is yeah, that, that's
is that,
the one.
What kind of guilt is that? What,
you know,
what
do you ever guilt? Do you ever feel guilt for not feeling guilt
all the time?
But here's the
dude.
Other one: do you feel guilt for feeling guilt? Like, why do I feel guilty about this? That's bullshit.
No.
See, that's the new level right there.
I almost
that's
never feel level. Guilty.
Yeah, that's how you know
guilt is easy.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. So I'm okay. For me, I'm recommending Overlord. I think it's fun. I think it's kind of mindless. There's some really good stuff going on here. The experiment, the Nazi zombie experiment didn't quite go as far as I would have wanted, but I'm still having a lot of fun on this film. Matt, you're a little less positive.
I'm not recommending it, but I'm not recommending it.
As an action horror film, I think this is probably one of the better ones I've seen in a bit.
I would recommend it just because this movie, you know, I don't know who I would recommend it to, but there's a chance you'll really like it. So, yeah, go fucking watch it.
This is one where I'd get specific, kind of like what Jorgito was saying. If you like action horror films, and they don't have a bunch of these all the time, yeah. And it's not horribly done. If you're curious, go watch it. If you're not, well, it's not going to change your fucking mind.
Like,
if you weren't curious and the trailer didn't do it for you, this is not going to...
You're like, yeah, if you like action horror movies,
this is one of them. I was not interested in watching it based on the trailer.
Neither was I. And it turned out to be honestly... I was telling George, I was kind of hating on this trailer for a while.
Better than I expected based on the trailer.
Me too.
So.
Me too. Okay. It was much more well executed than
I think. I think going into this thing, my expectations were super tempered. So I wasn't going into it like thinking, oh, this is gonna be super heady and like really you know, it's just, you know, I came out of it having a ton of fun, kind of like how I felt with Cabin in the Woods, where it was sort of exhilarating while it was happening. Cabin in the Woods isn't necessarily like a great film, no. But there's something about it that just like gives you this like boost of like
see that's
something.
One
Cabin it really
in the Woods
leaned
to me has
the
a
silly,
shitload
though.
Of thematic stuff that's freaking extremely interesting to me.
Me too. No, I love Cabin in the Woods. I don't, I'm not comparing the two, but I think that like in terms of like feeling, I was super excited leaving Cabin in the Woods.
Oh,
and kind of the same bit with this movie where I'm like, I leave it and I go, dude, I want to watch that again. I'm super amped. And wow. I feel like I
missed some cool shit, but
you might have. I don't know. Maybe give it a chance when it releases to video.
I don't know, probably not.
Maybe not.
Oh, I do. Can I mention this real quick?
Yeah,
too?
Absolutely.
Jed, I think his name's Jed Kurtzman. The score. I like the score. Mm-hmm. If you're a film score person, like I'm a big film score person, I like the score for this quite a bit. It goes with the sound thing. So the whole auditory aural part of this movie, I think, was very well done. But it's the guy who did Alien Covenant score. And he also did Assassin's Creed. He started with video games. Speaking of which, this is very much a movie coming out of that You've mentioned it a few times, games in relation to this film. Like, it comes out of gaming culture, I think.
Yeah, dude, it feels like a video game.
Like, Resident Evil.
The part when he's running from the arm zombie? Yeah, that felt like a hardcore game. I was about to say,
Resident Evil, like, I know that Resident Evil 4 takes place in Spain, and et cetera, but I'm thinking, like, you know, there's military stuff mixed with old European buildings and all that.
Resident Evil 2, where he's, like, designing a serum, and he injects himself with it, and he turns into this crazy monster.
Sure. Yeah, I got that vibe a lot.
Here you go, Alia. Here's, let's see. Soldiers of African heritage were not integrated with Caucasian units during World War II. The only African-American airborne unit was a 555th Parachute Infantry Battalion. Although the unit was ready for combat, it came close to being used in the Battle of the Bulge, but that crisis passed and the unit never went overseas or saw combat. So
that was the only airborne unit. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, they were.
So, I mean, this is, you know, historically inaccurate to an extreme degree, but
like,
it's a fucking movie.
Yeah, it's a documentary. Silly,
yeah, right.
And it's a silly movie too. But.
All right, well, that's the Who Goes There podcast for Overlord. You've gotten some mixed reviews, but overall, I think it's a fun movie. Hey, Matt.
Yeah, buddy.
We should talk about probably Frights and Pints.
Yes, Frights and Pints, 14 seasons beatings. On December 1st at the Ugly Dog Pub, we are back and bigger and better than ever. And we're going to be showing my favorite holiday movie of all time, Santa's Sleigh. So if you ever wish that Santa was a big Jack Jewish wrestler, then you're in luck because he
Your
is.
Your wish has come true.
And as always, we'll have free pizza and lots of giveaways and lots of drinks with lots of cool people. So
it'll be fun. Yeah, I'm super excited to get those wheels turning again. It's been a bit.
December 1st, and it's totally free. You have to be 21, though.
You do. Bring a dog.
Yeah, bring a dog. Oh, bring lots
dog
of
friendly.
Dogs.
And we want to meet the puppies.
We do.
I'm going to try to get work off so I can go.
Get that shit, dude.
All right.
You got plenty of notice.
Yeah.
Plenty of notice.
Plenty of notice. I'm taking my vacation week is actually the week after that.
Bring some fools with you, dude.
I'm going to try. I'm going to try to do what I can.
All right. That's Who Goes Our Podcast for episode 189. This is Jorge signing out.
Matt.
Good night.
Good night.
Later, dummies. I hate your fucking guts.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.